Hello and welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast, the podcast for those who care about privacy. I'm your host Puneet Bhatia, and here we have conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas and opinions relating to privacy and data protection matters. Before we start, a quick disclaimer that the views and opinions expressed are not legal advice. So let's get started. Hello and welcome. Today in the Fit for Privacy podcast, we have a special guest who's a data protection officer in one of the largest transportation companies in Brussels, Belgium. The person has experience in defining and implementing quality, service and privacy management systems. Also a background in project and change management, IT process design and re-engineering. So essentially, we are talking about a person who has very good insights into operational aspects as well as the legal and privacy aspects. I'm talking about Jennifer Sala, who is the DPO in STIB in Brussels. So welcome, Jennifer.
Hello, Puneet. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for your introduction.
Thanks. So it's such an interesting role that you do in transportation industry. How did you get into privacy from such a diverse background about project, change, IT process, re-engineering, quality service? It seems like you've done everything.
Well, yes, I don't have a classical career path. I'm quite interested in a lot of things. I love tech. I'm an early adopter. But in the same time, I'm privacy-minded. So I don't really like when everyone knows what I'm doing, where I'm going, etc. So I'm not so kind about social media. To give you just one example, when Fitbit came in Europe, I was just a fan of it because I was doing sport and it was so great. And then I discovered that there was a kind of earthquake in 2017. And they gathered data of 6 million people. So I found that very creepy. So I changed a little bit my view on tech. And then I heard about the new regulation coming. So I said, oh, this is really something for me. And now it's become my job and my passion.
Very interesting. And I think talking about Fitbit, it'll be even more questionable. Because now Fitbit is owned by Google. So we don't know how the data is being used. And I use one of those, but I don't know where my data is and what's being done because I was not giving it to Google Health earlier. And now it's in Google Health de facto.
Yeah, I stopped long time ago, so I'm really happy.
I chose to have health over some of the data sharing unless and until it becomes scary. But it's just challenging these days with technology, how far you go and what you do, because that's the same thing with social media also. Because they say Facebook or LinkedIn know about us much better than our partners.
Indeed, with protection.
Anyhow, GDPR is quite challenging, complex and full of interpretation. And if I may ask you, how would you put GDPR in one word?
Well, one word, if I have to stick to that, it would be...
one word and then describe why that one word.
I will summarize it to maybe two things. For me, it's really the way to manage risk and also to deal with risk perception. This is something I learned as a DPO. No, the regulation is about a risk-based approach. You have to do data protection impact analysis on a risky data processing. And then you have to gather a lot of expertise, IT, legal, process management. You have to define your purpose, legal basis, etc., your data flow. And then afterwards, you are doing your risk evaluation. And then I figure out that risk perception for people are really different. It depends on their experience. Let's give me an example. If you have been victim of a fraud, you will not have the same risk perception as someone who is browsing every day on social media and never had any bad experience. So really, risk perception, people will say, oh yes, yes indeed, this is a risk. And other people will say, oh, come on, what are you coming with? So when you have to do your exercise of risk evaluation, you have to take also this into account, because you need to even brought with you people who say, what are you talking about? Yes. So this is really something important as a DPO, managing risk, but also the risk evaluation exercise with a lot of different people.
Right. I think diversity helps when it comes to risk evaluation, because risk is perceived based on your background, your technical knowledge, your legal knowledge, and your experience with risk. And if you've gone through, then you tend to be more risk averse sometimes. But you need to have a balanced approach. Okay, and so in that case, if it's all about risk management, what does fit in privacy mean? Because in, like we say, health is God-given. That's how we say it. And then fitness is a choice, whether you want to have fitness or not. What would fitness in privacy mean for an organization perspective?
Well, from my experience as a DPO, I would say there are two important things. Company culture is definitely something very important. You need to make sure that everyone is on board, that everyone understands everything. But the other thing is making sure that GDPR principles are embedded in your process. Let me explain. I really prefer to have, instead of a nice, really good-looking data protection process, to have data protection principles embedded in each of the process of the company, which means as a DPO, you need to really know the process of the company you are working with,
right,
and to make sure that you work with process owners to check how you are going to put data protection in their own process. So it's really something working more smoothly and making sure that you have data protection a bit everywhere, in the mind, yep, of the people, in the process, in the habits of the people.
Right. That's a very nice way of articulating. Put it in the culture and put it in the process, and then it's easier to manage, steer privacy. So as a DPO, what are the big challenges you observe? And of course, I will also ask, not just list out the challenges, but help us understand how do you solve them, because then our audiences not only can understand and associate with the challenges, but also learn how can they solve, because everybody solves them differently, but some of the challenges are common, but the solutions are very, very interesting when we hear from people. So would you be kind enough to share some of your challenges? How do you solve them?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm working in a big company, a public company. So I have to deal with a large volume of data, hundreds of data processing, thousands of employees, a specific public tenders issue, and large range of data processor. So one of my challenge is workload. Definitely, there's a lot to do. That's one of them. And the other one is keeping people on board. It's really important because there's a lot of work to do. You have to repeat everything. So you have to prove the added value of what you are doing. Why are you doing this? Why data protection is important for you, for the company, and you have to keep the data protection spirit alive. It's something that is not one shot, it's every day, and it needs to be running. So, of course, I cannot solve all this by myself. So I have to make sure that the culture, the people as getting on board, keeping the pace. Because if I'm not doing this, we are not able to identify the data processing into the company and to analyze the risk. So it's really important that people understand why they are doing this, because everywhere in the company, everyone can identify one data processing. It's really, really important. Because, you know, a bit my nightmare is having shadow data processing. You are not aware they are existing, but they are there.
Yeah.
They do not have purpose, they do not have legal business, and they do not have a security measure. So it's a little bit a nightmare when you are DPO working in a big company. So keeping people with you is really, really important. And also, I have to tell that I'm a lucky DPO because I have a fully dedicated team working with me. So it helped me out reaching all those people into the company. I would be able to do it by myself.
Yeah, I think it's always challenging. No one, DPO is such a complex role that if you want to do it by yourself, it's practically impossible. So you need your eyes, hands, ears, everybody acting as that and helping you with queries. And then you can answer it. But you're right, the shadow processing or the shadow IT, that's a big, big risk because that we don't know and where it happens and how it happens. And if we can, if people are there working, serving on your behalf in different departments, knowing about it and bringing those issues, it makes life simpler.
Yeah, hopefully, because you have to repeat a lot of things. And so you cannot deal a large workload and being with each of the person next to them. So you have to have like privacy champions or people are really dedicated to it. But because it's not easy. Sometimes you have people who is a little bit working on data protection, but they do not really know data protection. So it's important that the people you're working with are really fully trained. They understand it and they can accurately explain to the business the data protection principles.
Right. And I think I'm sure you also implement it, because when we talk about privacy champion network or things like that, there are multiple levels. People who understand privacy, but they do not need to decide. They only need to bring things to you. And then there are people who are aware of it, but aware enough to pick the issues so that issues don't go out of control. So you don't want, because sometimes when we are training people, they say, are you making me a privacy expert? Will I become a DPO? No, we are not making you DPO. We are not making you a privacy expert. We are making you knowledgeable enough to bring the right issues to DPO so that not every question starts to come to the DPO. That's the only objective. And of course, early on, everything comes to, or more things come to DPO, and over time, people understand where's the right balance.
Yeah, indeed.
And when you talk about onboarding people, that's a challenge. How do you bring a solution to it? Because I know we talk about training people on onboarding, keeping them aware and all. How do you solve it practically in your case?
Well, as I have thousands of employees, we had to select one e-learning solution to have the basic. So it helps you out that at least the definition, the basics of data protection is shared within the company. And what we learn is it's really important to have a nice e-learning solution, interactive and a bit more practical, with example on the field, because they can relate with what they are living. Oh, okay, this is what they meant when they say that. So it's really important, because for some people, I found out that it was difficult to really understand where does it matter for them. So we have made a core module for everyone, which is mandatory. And then afterwards, we have three different modules, one for HR, one for sales, and another one for more operational field of work. So, and then they can have example or a notion that is, again, repeated in other words.
Makes sense. I think that's the right way to do it, because people don't care. There are data breach rules, there are rights and all that. That's all for us. From people perspective, when I'm doing my job, what do I have to do and when? That's what they want to know. What do I need to watch out for? Yeah. So In the field of privacy so far that you've been in, what is the biggest learning you have had?
Learning, I have plenty of
plenty. Learning. Of course, then we can have plenty of learnings.
What I appreciate, particularly in my job, is that I learn every day. In the data protection world, is amazing because I have done several fields, and I can say that you have so many things to read and learn. You've got the legal frameworks, you've got the guidelines of the authorities, you've got the essays of the academics. You've got the methodology of institution, so you never be bored of something. So really, my challenge there is be keeping the pace of the publication and to be aware of everything. And so, that's kind of a thing that I like because I like to learn. So that's good. But to answer to your question more accurately, I will say that. I cannot change everything in a few months. So right. This is really important because there's a large workload to do. So you have to be conscious of the short term and the long term objectives that you want to put in place. This means that you have to know your priority when it's burning something, but you have also to think about a maturity path. You start small, making sure that people are getting to with you, supporting the people in their maturity, in the change in the culture. And then you increase your ambition slowly, realistically, because you have to know that you, if you want an ideal and to put everything in place straight away, it's going to clash with the business. So you have to deal with the reality of the business. And this is your role as a DPO, making sure that they are coming with you slowly and getting more knowledgeable into the data protection world.
Yeah, that's a very, very mature learning that you have. You have to onboard them slowly rather than expect them to become experts on day one, and also have a long-term perspective, because that's when we are working with some of the DPOs, the challenges, they tend to focus on the ongoing. That's a good thing, short-term focus, but you need to have a perspective on 2 years or 3 years. In IT, we call it run the business and change the business. So you need to focus on the run the business because that's critical. If you don't do it, it'll all go haywire, but you also need to have a 3-year vision, 4-year, 5-year vision saying, where do I want this company to be? What are my targets? What are my ambitions? And try to spend 10 to 20% of your time weekly on it and steer it in that direction through projects, through initiatives, through automation, through KPIs, through dashboards, and get there.
That's important to think 2-3 years ahead where you want to bring the people with you. So then it's become more realistic and then people have time. And then it gets an habit, and it changed slowly the behavior. In change management, this is something really important.
Yeah, they call it, in business, they usually call it, you are always managing two businesses. The one that is giving you revenue and the one that will give you revenue in future. It's the same thing in the DPO. One that is giving you problems now and the other that will give you problems 1-2 years later. And you need to keep an eye on both sides and manage both, because if you don't pay attention to what will happen in future, don't pay attention to what can go wrong, then you're creating problems while sitting today, solving today's problems. So you need to factor in, you need to envisage, and you need to take care of those. And that's always going to be the challenge, or is the biggest challenge, because you already mentioned time is a challenge. But by the way, talking about your time challenge, how do you then manage the time challenge? Because there's so much to learn, there's so much to absorb, there's so much to do, and then what happens?
Reading time usually it's during the evening or the weekend, because with the workload I have, unfortunately, I cannot have really time to read stuff during my day. So yes, that's why I'm saying that's my passion, because otherwise I would not stay in this position, as it requires a lot of involvement.
Yeah, I think having passion, having preference for this kind of work and loving this work really helps, really makes it easier to do it, because then your weekends don't feel like weekends. Otherwise, it feels like job getting into weekends, and then it becomes acquiring knowledge, learning more and more. But does it happen that you have too much to read and then you're not able to prioritize, and then you say, okay, you will read what is most important?
Yes, of course, yes. I have a lot, I would say, a pile of publication that I have to read, but sometimes, yeah, it has to stop, because also I have a private life on my own, and I need also to balance that. So, well, I do my best, but I cannot be, I cannot read everything. That's not really happening.
Yeah, and it's also having a balance around what you will do, what your team will do, what you'll delegate to others, and what you will most likely not do. Because if you can identify things which you will not do, it helps prioritize.
Yeah. So you need to have a roadmap. It's really important. So you know where you are getting, and you know that what you are doing, it's achieved. And so it's important for the team also to see, oh, we have done everything this year. Oh, that's nice to see all your achievements. It's really good for team spirit.
Absolutely. Because otherwise, it's always fighting the problems, fighting the day-to-day battles, and not reflecting back. Because you do achieve, you do tend to do a lot when you look at 1 year or 2 years. And especially these days in pandemic, working from home, it is even more important to keep people fresh. Yeah. So it's wonderful to have this conversation with you, but if I may shift to organization perspective. So we talked about biggest challenges for you, but what are the challenges from an organization perspective?
For an organization, well, it's making sure to be compliant and to ensure that it's embedded, well, that everything is implemented. So I would say that I'm managing a little bit more the expectation, what needs to be done. So the company relying on me. So
yeah,
that's why I'm saying the roadmap is very important. So as long as we moving ahead, as long as we putting things in place, that is what is important. That's why sometimes I say, okay, this thing we cannot achieve right now because we have to change, for instance, from IT system. Okay, so as long as we put in things in place, that we are demonstrating that we have thought about the issue, we have recognized problems, and we want to change, this is something really important. So it's demonstrating compliance, which is important, but sometimes you cannot do it in 2-3 months. So
yeah.
That's
life indeed, and that's the key. On one hand, you want to be compliant, but you also need to understand that it's risk-based and you're trying to be compliant, and there are some risks which will remain, so you cannot say you're 100% compliant, and you have to be accepting that, because that you're not 100% compliant and you're managing a risk-based option on a day-to-day basis while having a long-term view, saying reducing the amount of risk you are taking right now.
You need to have your basics in place, and then it's ongoing improvements. So that's why, you know, when you say, okay, we're going to put everything in place, we will have the roles, we will be 100% compliant, it will take you years to put it that way. But if you are doing slowly things, going slowly and implementing phases by phases, then you improve your compliance.
Yeah, as they say, you don't eat an elephant, you cut it into pieces and eat it. So it's step by step, block by block, you improve things. But that's very rightly said. So it's wonderful to have you. And in essence of time, if I may ask you, what is one final message you have for somebody listening to this and thinking about implementing or improving privacy in their organization?
Well, I would say having a network of DPO is key. I found out that it's not just one way to do things. There are many ways to see the problem or to interpret the regulation as well. So it's really, really important to speak with other DPOs and to keep the discussion open, because you get to know more. It opens your vision on what is your possible actions. So it's really something important.
I fully agree with that. You need to learn from others and have a network of others who can support you and give you different ideas and who have similar challenges with you. And now, if somebody wants to contact you, somebody thinks, I need to contact Jennifer and ask her this question, what should they do?
I think the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn. So I would be very happy to meet other DPOs and to discuss about data protection. So find me on LinkedIn, Jennifer Sala. I will be happy to meet.
Sure, Jennifer. So it was wonderful to have you and a very candid conversation about what's the life of a DPO, what challenges you face and how you organize your thing. And I'm really pleased to hear the concept of, because I always advocate it, saying run the business and change the business, and you're already implementing it, which is very nice to hear that. So thank you so much for being here, and it was wonderful to have you.
Thank you, Praneet. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Same here.
Thanks for listening, and now we ask you for some help. Take a moment to subscribe and review this podcast. Your support matters. And if you have done it already, thank you so much. Now, if you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. And finally, if you know someone who will benefit from this, share this podcast with them and help us grow. Thank you so much. Stay safe and see you next time.